sing one more chorus before we hand over to Brother Samuel tonight. Maybe we can stand on our feet. Just sing a few times over that little chorus. My God was the blood. My God was the blood for me. I'm on the left cup, Samuel. There's two cups up here. There's one on the left, there's one on the right. So you can have the one on the right. I know it. Just bow this moment before we open God's word.
Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks this evening, Lord, for your mercy and your grace, Lord. Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, that we could gather here to exalt and to uplift that holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you tonight that we can sing these songs, Lord. Lord, we thank you tonight for the blood, Lord. Lord, we thank you that we can say that it was the blood for us, Lord, that redeemed us and bought us back. Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, and we just want to appreciate you tonight, Lord, and uplift your holy name, Lord, and give thanks unto you at this time, Lord, and to bless thy name, to exalt thy name. Oh, Lord God, I pray, Lord, that you will touch, Lord, anyone tonight that needs a touch in their body. Lord, I pray that they'll know the hand of the great physician tonight, that the great physician indeed will be near to them, and they will feel the healing hand of the Lord Jesus Christ upon them. Lord, I pray that you'll rid their body from anything that should not be there. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll sustain them. Lord, I pray that you'll bless them physically, spiritually, and mentally in Jesus Christ's name. Now, Lord God, I pray that you'll help us tonight, Lord, to exalt your word, Lord, to uplift your name, and to give thanks unto you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to really just try and read a few verses tonight because I don't want to keep us too long because I know we're going to have the bit of tea and stuff afterwards. So I'll try and not be too long. But again, tonight I want to turn in our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9. And I want to read a few verses. Chapter 9, verses 6. I thought Tommy was going to say everything he was going to say this morning, more or less. So it's more maybe down maybe a similar route, if you know what I mean. So, but look, I believe that's what I wanted to bring, and I believe I felt that's what I should bring. So that's what we'll do. So I hope the Lord will bless you tonight. So Isaiah chapter 9 and verses 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You may have your seats tonight, and I'll just read verses 7. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon the kingdom to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Amen. Isn't it wonderful that Isaiah the prophet prophesied that God was going to send a child? You know, I was just thinking when they were singing that song, I love that one, Bringing in the Sheaves, you know. My dad told me one time there's a wee man, he was like a wee evangelist man, and I think he was going somewhere to evangelize, and they sung Bringing in Chinese. But they were going to evangelize the Chinese people and stuff, and he sung Bringing in Chinese. He was going to preach to them, you know, and I hope that God done what he was singing. Amen. Bringing in the sheaves. Isn't it wonderful that, you know, we can see, like, through our own fellowship and through our own life and through our own different events. You know, I was actually going to try and speak a wee bit tonight about role models. And I suppose maybe we'll still be talking a wee bit about role models in a sense of Jesus Christ is the greatest role model there ever was. If you want to try and represent or try and make your life to match any person or anyone, that's the greatest one that you could ever try to aspire to be like. Be like Jesus. Look at the compassion he had. Look at the way he dealt with things and the way he worked. You know, we know he was God in flesh. We'll never be as good as that, as it were. But, you know, by his grace, it doesn't matter how good we are or how good we could be. We're depending upon his righteousness. And Isaiah the prophet said, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And we know that John 3 and 16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? We know that some never intended versions, they say, is one and only son, which is not right, because we believe that we accept Jesus Christ to be our Savior. You're an heir and a joint heir with Christ. So you are sons and daughters of the King of Kings. Isn't it wonderful that when he ticks us, that he adapts us when we take his name? But you see, The problem, you know, a lot of people maybe that believe that are maybe right, because they don't believe in true baptism. They've never actually taken his name. They'll take a title system, but they'll never actually take his name, so maybe in one sense that would be true for them. But when you're baptized and when you're born again and when you're baptized, you take the name of Jesus Christ to show that you're in alignment with him, that you're in an agreement with him. You're taking his name. The same as like Tommy said, you know, when a man or a man and a woman get married, the woman takes the man's name. And when we believe in Jesus Christ and accept him to be our Savior, and when we're baptized, we take his name. So we become part of him. We have been united with him. You know, I know at this time, all you children are getting excited for Christmas. But you know, we even know that the word Christmas itself, we can't even find it in the Bible. But you know, we as believers, we are believing, and we know also, like Tommy mentioned this morning, the good possibility, well, it's probably a fact that Jesus wasn't actually born on the 25th of December, but the 25th of December was a date that they took because it was the winter solstice, and it was the birth of the pagan sun god, and different pagan symbols that come at Christmas time, come at the 25th of December. And that is why they chose that date, because the Roman Catholic Church decided that if they could reach out to these pagans, if they could do something to sort of compromise with the pagan, and they'll use these dates, and then them dates are important to these people, that we could maybe win them over to us. And we know then that they're the ones that come up with the word Christ Mass. And you know, as Protestants, we believe we're Protestants. You know, people use the word Protestant, but they're not even really a Protestant, because they believe the doctrines of Rome and because they follow the doctrines of Rome. But a true Protestant knows that the Pope is the Antichrist, and a true Protestant will not baptize in three titles. A true Protestant will not take their child and have them sprinkled, because they know it's a Catholic doctrine and it's not in the Bible anywhere to be found. So we see that these different things, you know, Christ Mass, you know, the word Mass, it comes, it's a Roman Catholic doctrine also. It comes from the priest on earth believes that he has been invested power from Almighty God on the Pope himself, who believes that he sits in place of the Son of God, who believes that he is in authority over the earth. He wears a triple crown, and his triple crown represents so-called his authority. He believes that he has power in the underworld, he believes that he has power in this world, and he believes that he has power in the world above. He wears a triple crown to represent that, and we know that on his seat or on his throne it says in Latin, I'm not sure of the word in Latin, but it really says, instead of or in place of the Son of God. And then we know that there was a Pope, I don't know which one of them it was, but he actually said, don't go to God or don't go to Jesus, come to me. He believes that he's Jesus, he believes that he is like Jesus on earth, and he is all power and authority. And when that priest has, by the way, received this authority and power, he then can take a wafer that is made by man, and he can then do the act of transubstantiation, and he can turn that wafer into the literal body of Christ, which again is total falsehood. Because why would you want to sacrifice him again? Because the word of God says he was once and for all. Once and for all he was sacrificed. He doesn't need to be sacrificed again. And he doesn't need to be put on a cross again. He doesn't need any relic or any symbol to glorify him. You know, anything to do with these things, we know are all different things or from pagan things. But I don't want you to say, oh, well then, what's the point and all that. But you know, at this time of the year, we want to dedicate it to Jesus Christ. Because maybe you've got time off your work. You've got time to think about these things. You know, when you're sitting down to eat, you know, the only thing in the Bible that talks about these things, the children of Israel had different feast days. And the Passover was one of the greatest ones, when they remembered what God done for them. Well, we ought to dedicate this time of year to us as a Passover, as it were. We want to take time to remember that God sent his Son, that unto us a son was born. Unto us a child was born, and unto us a son, the only begotten Son, was given. Isn't it wonderful that God gave his only begotten Son for me and for you? Now, we were Gentiles and didn't deserve anything. We were steeped in these pagan things. You know, and we know that, I'm not too sure of the dates, but we know that when Oliver Cromwell was in authority, that he banned these things. These children wouldn't have been too happy. He banned Christmas, and he banned all these things. And he went into the church and he kicked out a lot of the relics they had. Because he said, why would you want to go back to pagan worship when we've got the original thing here? So we see these different things, but I'm not saying tonight not to celebrate Christmas, as it were. As I say, celebrate it unto the Lord. You know, what has it become today? It has become a selling point and a good thing to get people into as much debt as possible. And a good thing to try and get people in a whole fuss about this has to be right and that has to be right. And if that doesn't happen, the whole day is lost and ruined. That's the way it has become, isn't it? And then there's another side of it too. There's a deep depression comes upon a lot of people at this time of year. Because some people feel like they're having a good time. And I'm sitting here on my own. Some people may be alone. Maybe some people don't have a family. And they're hearing about all these people enjoying themselves at this time of the year. But for anybody in that position, I want you to know that if you accept Jesus Christ, you've got a friend all the time. Because he said he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And he'll never leave you nor forsake you. It doesn't matter what date it is on the calendar, he's available. He's always there. So we see all these different things. I know there's a lot of stuff that you could go into about all the different names and the different symbols and relics. And we even know like some of the things, like even as far as the tree and why they use an evergreen tree, that where that comes from and different things like that. You know, and it's up to everyone what to do in their own home. That's up to them. And I know anybody that puts a tree up, you're not dancing around it and praising the tree. I understand that. I agree with that. I see where you're coming from. But you know, all these things that we see, if we look back to the apostles, if we look back to the book of Acts, there's nowhere that they even celebrated the birth of Christ. There's no celebration for the birth of Christ in the Bible, really. Only we do know that the birth of Christ was celebrated, because I'm going to get to that in a way, because that the angels appeared unto the shepherds and told them of it, and the Magi knew about it. So we want to celebrate it in that way. But you know, there's no such thing really as in what it has become today. It has become like a tradition really, hasn't it? It has become a thing. But you know, it's a nice time of the year. It's nice to be at home with your family. And it's nice to celebrate the birth of Christ in that way, isn't it? But you know, we see all these different things. You know, then in Isaiah chapter 7, on verses 14, we also see that he prophesies again. It says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isn't that wonderful? They shall call his name Emmanuel. And we know that that name being interpreted means God with us. So that child that was born in that manger was God with us. You know them two letters at the end of that E-L. The name Samuel means asked of God. And a lot of people believe that in the Hebrew, on the different texts, that them two letters E-L were to represent God. And every name with that E-L at the end of it is a representation. It's something to offer unto God. But we know that Jesus Christ was the greatest gift ever given. That was the greatest gift the world ever received. You know, like Tommy said this morning, God's wrapped gift in a manger. A little baby. But he wasn't just a little baby, he was Jehovah. Jehovah God in that little baby. But you know, he was a wee innocent baby and he was born and he needed his mother to bring him up. He needed his mother to bring him through. But we know that when he was at no age of tall, that he went into the temple and he spoke with the men and they couldn't understand the knowledge in him, because he was the Word. Amen. The Bible says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh. He was the Word in flesh. Amen. So we see here that Isaiah prophesied these things about 700 years or 800 years before Jesus was even born. You know, people would say to you, like, how would you really trust the Bible? How can you really trust the Bible? Well, there's too many events in the Bible that take place to prove that the Bible's right. There's too many proofs, or what would you say, it's a complete cert that the Bible's right. Because there's so many events taking place. If you even looked at the Bible, not in a spiritual sense as it were, if you just read it, you would see that it was right. Because you would see the history of God's people. You would be able to read the history in the Torah that Moses wrote of the history of Israel. And a man said one time, if you want to believe that God, if you want to know or prove that God exists, look at Israel. He says that's one great proof, isn't it? What God brought them through. 400 years of bondage in the Bible times, and how that God brought them out, and all the miraculous things that God done and showed a prophetic proof. Now the other thing is too, about Jesus Christ being born. We want to look at Matthew. Well, just want to make a point there. It says, therefore the Lord himself shall give unto you a sign, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. I want to say something about the importance of Jesus also. We know that Jesus was not born like any other man, but he was born without any sin. There was no sin in him. He was a created being. It says that he pre-existed, because it says all things were made by him and for him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So he was the head and the ruler over all things. But we know that when he came forth, that he had no original sin in him. You see, if you don't really know what happened in Genesis, or if you don't believe what happened in Genesis, the Bible is a bit of a mystery. There's a lot of stuff that maybe wouldn't fit in. But when you understand the importance of that blood, when you understand the importance that sin was sowed into the human race, and that all men were sinners from birth, and that sin, that, I said one more time, it is a real pandemic. Sin is a pandemic. Sin was a thing that came in the Garden of Eden, and that sin, there's never been anything for it, but praise be to God, there is a vaccine for it that works, and it's called the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that one there will cover everything. If you really believe, it'll cover all manner of sickness and disease. He says, if you can only believe, all things are possible. All things are possible if we believe in him. So we see here that the significance why that the prophet prophesied that a virgin would conceive, because physically it wasn't actually possible. But God brought it about. Amen. God made it happen. We see over here then in Matthew chapter 1 and verses 18. Verses 18, and we'll read on down maybe for a few verses. Verses 18 maybe down to verses 23. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted means God with us. Amen. Isn't it wonderful that God gave us his only begotten son? And we see, as I said before, from that time that the prophet Isaiah prophesied, people talk about, well, if God was going to do this or going to do that, why did it not take place? People think everything's instantaneously going to happen. That prophecy, maybe a lot of people looked at that and read that and thought, well, there's a son there. He's of a good lineage. Maybe there's something to do with the lineage he's from. Maybe there's going to be this son's going to be the one. This is going to be the one. But 700 years passed. 700 years. Imagine that for a time scale. That is a long time, isn't it? 700 years passed. But God's word's true nevertheless. And a virgin did conceive. A virgin did conceive. I'm sure that a lot of people thought, well, if this son was going to come forth, he'll be of royal seed. Well, he was in a sense, because we know that if you look back through the genealogies that you can trace, in a sense, his lineage back to David. But in another sense, he's not related to any earthly man in any way, really. Because he is God in flesh. God created everything in the womb of Mary. There was no influence of man or no contamination, as it were, of blood of man. Of this earth, any sin, there was no contamination of sin whatsoever. It was all of God. Amen. So we see that, you know, that the prophecy come forth, and as I say, there is a time scale. We know we talk about, you know, time scales in the Bible and different things. Well, that's a long time, isn't it? 700 years. But the prophecy still come to pass. So if God ever says something, and it's of God, it's going to happen. It's going to happen the same way as when Jesus was taken up, that they said that this, the same Jesus as you see going up, will return in like manner. It's going to happen. People might say, oh, they've been talking about the coming of the Lord for years. I've heard that for years. It's not going to happen. Maybe some old critic doesn't believe that God's going to come back. Maybe he doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is going to return, but he is. You know, it was even a significant thing, a small thing, that when they went into the tomb and found that his napkin was folded and placed to the side, that in that Passover meal, if you were leaving your table, but you were planning on coming back, you folded your napkin and you put it in a certain way on the table, and that's a sign to say that I'm coming back to the table there. And Jesus, the napkin was folded and placed to the side, he's coming back. He was telling the people there, I will return, I'm coming back. Amen. Isn't it wonderful that he rose again, victorious over death, hell, and the grave? You know, one also look and look. Chapter 1 as well. I'm just reading these different verses, as I say. I just hope that God will encourage you tonight with these things. Luke chapter 1. Verses 30. And I thought this is a wonderful thing. You could take a whole message even on this one portion of scripture. I want you really to see the significance of this birth. You know, we hear all about it at this time of the year, about Jesus has been born, and there's different wee nativity plays and different things, and it's all nice, isn't it, to see these things. And you know, even, I know I always thought it was really nice, even the wee donkey. And the wee donkey's got a cross on his back. And how that the very King of Kings, that he was born in an old stable, as it were, in a manger. He was laid in a manger. A manger was a thing for putting hay in for the animals to eat out of. He was born in a stable, really, wasn't he? The King of Glory. And you know, when he come to Jerusalem, he come in riding on a wee donkey. He didn't come on a big white horse. And he didn't come, you know, with a big shining uniform on him or anything. But he came like an ordinary man. But he wasn't an ordinary man. He was greater than that, wasn't he? You know, and as I say, if we look here in Luke chapter 1 and verses 30, it says, And the angel said unto her, Fear not, I thought this was a wonderful thing. Everywhere in the Bible that the angel of the Lord appears to someone, what do they say to them? Fear not. But what is this word telling everybody at the minute? Fear.
Amen.
Be afraid. We've invented another wild called Omicron or something like that. And he's worse than you by COVID and Delta and somebody else. They're even deadlier. Fear. Fear and trembling has struck this earth. Fear. The fear of man bringeth a snare. But the fear of God will do you good. The fear of God is a different type of fear. As I said before, the fear of man is a fear that leaves someone bound that can do nothing. But the fear of God is a reverence on you. If you get the fear of God, you'll know good and evil, as it were. You'll know right from wrong. But you know, there's a lot of people in this day and age that don't seem to know right from wrong. There seems to be a lack of, what you'd say, standard morals. Standard morals, as it were, went out the window. But the first thing that the angel said, he said, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Amen. You know, like I say, now we know that there's some people then they want to try and worship Mary. But there's nowhere in the Bible that we can worship Mary. Mary was favoured of the Lord, yes. She's a highly set up woman, as it were, in the sense that God chose that vessel. That's a blessing, that's a real blessing, isn't it, that God chose Mary. Just as an ordinary woman, as it were, chose her to be the one to carry and to bear the very King of Glory himself. But you know, that doesn't mean to exalt her. There's nowhere we should exalt Mary or pray to Mary. Mary has no power and authority, as it were. She was a chosen vessel. But the one that came forth from her is the one that we exalt. And it says, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then we'll read on down here. We'll read right on down, maybe to nearly verses 40, something here. We'll just keep on reading down. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold thy cousin Elizabeth, this is the bit I want to look at even too, and behold thy cousin Elizabeth she hath also conceived a son, and in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now we know that when we go on down here, it says then that how she goes to talk to Elizabeth. We'll read on down. And it says, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. And entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of the Lord should come to me? So you could read on down there, but I want you to see that when the very name of Jesus is mentioned. Now Elizabeth was with child, but you know, at this point, from what you can read here, there was actually there was no movement. You know, she didn't maybe know that the child was alive. You know, it says that she was conceived and she had a child, but you know that at that stage you would feel the child moving. You know, you can feel the child moving in the womb, but when John in the womb heard that the Messiah was coming, he leapt within the womb. It done something for him, the name of Jesus. He leapt within the womb. And it says that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, and then she went on to speak these words. She was inspired by God. But you know, when the very name Jesus is mentioned, something happens. I want to try and come to a close. I'm not going to go on any longer. I'm just going to read another portion of scripture here. I know you could read all these different events of how that Jesus was born. And as I say, that, you know, another significant thing was there was no room for him in any inn, was there? You know, he come to that town, he come to that place, and they went and they knocked on all the doors. You know, as the children here acted the wee play, they knocked on the door, but they said there's no room in the inn. But somebody said, with the stable there, if you want to take the stable, take the stable. And he come forth, the very King of Glory, in a wee stable. Amen. If we look at Philippians chapter 2 and verses 7. Chapter 2 and verses 7. And we'll maybe read on down. We'll read a few verses. First, maybe down to verses 11. But it says, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. That's what he done, wasn't it? He took on the form of just an ordinary man. He was born as a wee baby, helpless baby, in a manger. And he took upon him the form of a man. You know, it says that he has no beauty or no comeliness. There was nothing, like as it were, to look at him, you wouldn't have said there was nothing special. And the Bible says he was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. So maybe he didn't go about all the time with a great big smile on his face and happy as Larry. Because he knew. He could see the things that was around him, couldn't he? He knew what was happening. And you know, we know that how he wept over Jerusalem. And how that he wept at Lazarus' grave. And how that he felt emotion like a man. But yet he was God. Do you know, because I like what a prophet of God says. He said, when he came down to that tomb of Lazarus and he wept, that was a man. But when he said, Lazarus, come forth and come hither, that was God speaking. And you know, when he was on that boat and he fell asleep, that was just him being like a man, wasn't it? But when he rose up and he said to the wind and the waves, lay down, and they all settled, that was God speaking. So we see here that the Bible clearly states, he made himself of no reputation. He could have made himself of a reputation, because he could have chose someone in a high position, couldn't he? He could have chose some of the women in the high position. And he could have been born into a great palace of gold and silver and riches and all the greatness of this world. And they could have brought him forth in a gold casket or a gold manger or a gold thing for putting a child in. They could have brought him forth and presented him to the world and said, look, and told the prophecy of what all happened. And maybe a lot of people would have believed it, wouldn't they? Maybe they'd have said, well, this makes sense. He was born of a royal line. And look at the greatness. Look at the gold and look at the silver and look at all the great things. But he didn't come like that. It said he made himself of no reputation. He didn't come like that. But he come in a humble, simple way, didn't he? He come in a humble, simple way, but it says he made himself of no reputation. And took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in the fashion as a man, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He didn't have to die. There was no death in him. He never would have died. He couldn't die because he was all life. Everything about him was life. Yet he looked like a man. He came as a man, but he was all life abiding in him. All power and authority. It said the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in him. He was all power and authority. But he came as a man. Why did he do that? Well, I believe he done that so that we can feel that we can stand on his level. I believe he done that so that the beggar on the street can represent with him, can associate with him. The very beggar on the streets, a homeless person, the person with nothing, can go to him anytime. They don't feel like he's above them, as it were. He doesn't want you to feel like he's so above you that you can't reach out and touch him, because he's available. All you have to do is reach out to him. Amen. It says then, verses 9, Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and hath given him, highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that at every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So you've got a choice. It's going to happen someday. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. But why not make the decision now to accept him as your Savior? Why not accept him as your Lord and Savior? Because if you don't accept him now, someday you're going to realize you've made a mistake. There's no point in waiting to that day. You know, there's people say, oh, what if you were wrong? What if you were wrong? What if God doesn't exist? Well, what if you were wrong? But I don't believe I am wrong. I believe that God does exist, because everything in nature represents God. And we know there's been too many miraculous and infallible proofs of God to say that God doesn't exist. There's too many things to prove that he does exist. But if he didn't exist, and you lived your life believing in God, and you died, you wouldn't have lost nothing. But if you live your life and you say, I don't believe in God, I want nothing to do with God, and you die, you could lose everything. You will lose everything, because you haven't accepted God's wrapped gift. Open up God's gift this Christmas. Open up God's wrapped gift. The baby in a manger. The one who laid down his life for you. The one who shed his blood for you. The one who came in the form of a man, that he could reach out to you and to me. To represent, we could be represented with him. He now stands at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And he stands there to make intercession for us. You don't need an earthly priest. He's no power. But there's a great priest. It says he's a high priest that can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. You know, as I said before, if God wouldn't have like them senses, as it were, it would be hard for God, for us to really see how God could represent us. But when he sent his son in the form of a man, and he could feel all the feelings that me and you feel, because it says he was tempted in all ways, like every man. He was tempted like a man. But God was in him, and he was God. That's the mystery of the Godhead, isn't it? He was all man, but he was still all God. It's wonderful tonight. You know, as I say, let's take this time of the year to be in thanksgiving for what he has done for us, and to thank God for the gift that he sent unto us. A child is born. Amen. Let's just stand a minute tonight in my closing prayer before I hand over to the pastor. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, for this gift that you have sent the world, Lord. Lord, I pray at this time of the year, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll bless the children, Lord, that you'll give them their heart's desire, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that everything, Lord, will go well with everyone, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that we'll take the opportunity to thank you, Lord. Lord, when we're sitting down, Lord, enjoying, Lord, our dinner or anything, whatever we're doing, enjoying the time with our family and fellowship together, Lord, I pray we'll dedicate that to you, Lord, and give you thanks, Lord, for the good things which you have done for us, Lord, over this year, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all the good things that you've done, Lord. Lord, help us, Lord, to count our blessings at this time, Lord. Lord, help us, Lord, to look at the blessings that you have given us, Lord. Lord, the enemy may want to show us all the negative stuff, but Lord God, I pray that the Holy Ghost would come down, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll comfort each and every one, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll comfort each and every one at this time, Lord, and strengthen them. Lord, I pray, Lord, for each and every one represented with this fellowship. Lord, I pray you'll bless them. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'll help us to go forth, Lord, into the new year, Lord, Lord, help us to go forth, and I pray, Lord, that you'll bring souls in to be saved and won for the kingdom of God. Lord, I pray you'll bless the pastor, Lord. Bless each and every one in this building, Lord. Everyone represented, Lord, here. Lord, I pray if there's anyone tonight hasn't accepted you, Lord, I pray that you'll now move upon them, Lord. Lord, move upon our loved ones tonight, Lord. Speak into their ear, Lord. Lord, even at this time, Lord, let them, Lord, think of you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'll help them to turn to you, Lord, and accept you as their own personal Savior, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll meet every need in Jesus' name. Lord, undertake. Lord, I pray you'll bless us now as we come together, Lord, to fellowship, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to uplift your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless Brother Samuel, and thank the Lord for the word tonight. Just a quick announcement. Thursday night, we're going to have a service, prayer and Bible study. Our Brother John will be preaching. And then next Sunday morning, 10 o'clock in the morning, we're meeting an hour earlier next Sunday morning, Boxing Day. And the children's told Carl that they want to do the Sunday school as normal, so we'll just go ahead as normal. I know it mightn't suit everyone to come, but those that can come and wants to come, we're going to be here, and the Lord bless those that can come, and the Lord bless those that can't come as well. But we're going to be here anyhow, and then so come along, and there'll just be the morning service. There'll be no evening service next Sunday, just the morning service. So the Lord bless each one as our Brother Gary comes and closes with a few songs tonight. God bless, brother. God bless, Samuel.
I'll sing that hymn. It was down at the feet of Jesus, with that happy, happy day, that my soul found peace in believing and my sins were washed away.